tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to another episode of Tea Time, a series where we discuss topics related to trick takers, shedders, climbers, and other card games. We're your hosts, Patrick
and Ryan.
Hopefully you're just you've got yourself a nice glass of mulled wine for this special Christmas edition, or of course just perhaps a mulled wine flavored tea bag instead if you're not on the on the hard stuff. So as we were saying, today's a special Christmas episode, and Ryan is full of excitement because he's just had a special little it's not a little parcel, it's a gigantic parcel that's arrived to his house from Japan. So Ryan, just talk us through, will you, and share some of your excitement with the listeners.
Yeah, so Christmas arrived a few weeks early for me, and it took a little bit of time to unpack everything. I had the order from Zen Market. They do a fantastic job at wrapping and bubble wrapping and making sure everything is thoroughly protected. So just a big shout out to them real quick. But yeah, as I said, super excited for a lot of games in here. Most of them are some hotness that came out of the recent Tokyo Game Market from a few weeks ago. To go over a couple of them, just because there's so many here, we'd spend the entire episode just listing them all off and talking about them.
Yeah, it's a big shopping list, but what are some of the ones you're most excited about? You're probably excited about all of them, to be honest, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. These are all very high on my Want to playlist right now. But I'd say one of the higher ones up there is Pala. It's the second edition of it. And the new art on the new version looks really good.
Yeah, I've got one of the original Palas, actually. But the new edition, I've got to say, does look great. I'm with you on the art. An interesting fact for the listeners, apparently it inspired Taiki Shinzawa in some of his other designs.
Which, you know, that game must be really good then.
It must be really good. Yeah, yeah.
Another one that I'm super excited about that I've actually passed on a handful of times before this is Dog Cat Sun Team. It's a tiny little box where it's a team game, and one of you is on the dog team, the other of you is on the cat team, and you're trying to shed out. And based on the team that you're on, depending on the last card you play, determines how many points you get. And I just think that's really cool. Most shedders and climbers, it's just get rid of all your cards right away. First one to do it gets the most points. But you actually have to be more strategic on what your last card is that you get rid of.
It looks cute if that's the with a little cartoon dog and cat on the front. And let's be honest, right? Normally, you know, you bring a game around or someone, one of your relatives or whatever, somebody likes cats or somebody likes dogs. So you're already going to find natural roles for this game with the people you play it with, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to rapid fire a couple more off here real quick. There is which I guess isn't actually a game, but it's the Sai Beppu French Tarot deck. Just super excited to be able to play games like Le Plateau or French Tarot with the deck itself. Beautiful art, really nice quality cards, and that dealer poker chip that you got extra with it is great.
Very jealous. They look amazing, and it does make my French Tarot deck look rather bland when I look at the work that Sai's done on her deck. So very, very jealous of that, and I hope you get a lot of play out of it because it looks great.
I do as well. And now this one I am extremely excited for. I had a print and play copy of My Favorite Things and was finally able to get a hold of an official second edition copy. Big, big shout out to Ray from the Portland Game Collective Discord server. This game was available on Surikaya, and I tried to nab it, but I guess his forwarding service got a little bit quicker than I did and was still gracious enough to sell it on to me. So thank you again so much. My wife loves this game. it doesn't even play two players. It's just like not even an option. But I taught it and showed it to her when it was just the two of us. And she made me play three games of it where, like, again, quote unquote games, because she loved it so much. So this one's going to hit the table a bunch.
What's the main twist then? Just so you whet people's appetite.
Yeah. So it's a party trick taker, first off. So it's very light on the actual trick taking part. It's just a fun, silly trick taking or a party game where everybody comes up with a category that they give to, say, the first round, it's the person on your right. We're all writing on these cards that we have in front of us that range from 0 to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all the things that you like. So 1 is your most favorite thing. 5 is you still like it, but not as favorite. And then 0 is something you hate. You're doing this all secretively. Then you hand the cards back, and then you play trick-taking from there, trying to guess what people's favorite things are, what their 0, what the thing they hate the most is, because the lowest number in the trick wins. But if a 1 and a 0 are in the same trick, then the 0 actually wins.
So what you're telling me then, this is a game that's good to kind of get to know things about the other person, right? So it's a bit from a social perspective. It sounds like it's good to get to know their likes, their dislikes. So more than just a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic icebreaker type game because you just ask any type of category.
That's cool. Would you take it on a first date if you were single?
I mean, it's a thing you could do. It could get spicy quick, though, depending on what categories you pick.
Right, yeah, be careful of those categories.
The rule book gives you some options for if you don't know categories to pick. You can read off the rule book.
Right.
And boy, oh boy, do they not disappoint with spicy categories.
Spicy categories. So like your favorite type of chili or?
Oh no, it's spicier than that.
Oh, I was hoping so.
So examples we have starts off pretty nice. Some historical personages you want to meet, countries you've once lived in, favorite sushi toppings, and then we get into people you want to exchange your body with.
Ooh, okay.
How you choose the opposite sex, such as face, body, character, favorite hairstyles, your fetishes.
Okay.
And then we get a little bit back to normal. Hobbies, activities you want to try, fictional characters you want to date, favorite train line, and important things to you.
So you've gone from favorite train line to exchanging board games and your fetish-obsessed trick-taking addiction. Interesting. Yeah. So just pivoting on that, there's a game in there that you told me about before, Ryan, that I kind of felt some excitement for as well, but not played it. Matching for You. And that's just along that, while we're on the dating theme for a second, and this is kind of a weird direction, but looks interesting.
It fits perfectly. Yeah. So yeah. The theme for Matching for You is that you're all women trying to go on a date with a bunch of boys, but you don't have the proper clothing or attire or accessories to go on those dates.
That's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you have to do is borrow them from all the other girls that are in town. And you're ultimately doing this by doing a trick-taking set collection game. So just silly theme. It's a tiny little box too. Like, you could fit this in those little pockets that are inside jeans, in like your regular pocket. Like, it's that small.
If you've got the right clothing, of course.
Of course, that's the key. Yes. And if you don't, I'm sure you can borrow those jeans from a friend, right?
Borrow my clothing from all the boys in town. It just wouldn't be right, would it?
But even theme aside, like, it actually looks like a pretty interesting game, having the sort of set collection that happens with trick-taking. It really reminds me of Trick and Trade, which is a game that I know a lot of people, including myself, really like.
Yeah, me too.
It works the same way. You have to figure out what's the strongest card, second, strongest, third, fourth, and then those people in order grab the cards they want as part of their set collection.
Some unexpected surprises then in this latest haul of Japanese trick-taking games. I'd ask you what the weirdest game you think you've imported is in this order, but you might have already covered it. I mean, I could be wrong.
No, I think you would be wrong.
Okay, surprise me.
Diet Trite or Diet Trick is probably the weirdest one.
Okay, why is it weird then? Is it something to do with going on a diet or?
It is. It's all about diet and exercising and trying to manage both of them. The cards have little dinner plates on one of them, and then little feet looking like they're running on the others. And depending on when you win the trick and with what suit and how it's won, will push you up the diet track or it'll push you up the exercise track. And you have to make sure that you don't do one too much and the other one not enough.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like some food for thought then, or a lot of work. So if you want to recreate that feeling, buy yourself a treadmill and play a card game at the same time.
While eating.
While eating. Yeah, yeah. I look forward to hearing more about that one in the future, Ryan. That sounds very strange, but, you know, this is why we're here, isn't it? To bring these games to light. And then, obviously, it's just a question of getting it to the table. As long as you can do that at some point, hopefully you're gonna, you know, getting a good return on your investment. So there we go. Speaking of returns on investment, getting games to tables, etc., what about for Christmas then? I mean, I'd say you're probably sorted, Ryan, yourself. However, it is the season of gifting as well, isn't it? And stocking stuffers. People will, you know, immediately have this image of a stocking hanging by the fire or something, or hopefully not too close to the fire, full of games. And we're wondering what sort of games would you be putting into these stockings? I mean, I've got some ideas as well. Or if we were to give some recommendations to people looking to buy some games for Christmas, with a bit of an emphasis on card games.
Certainly. Now, usually one of the first criteria of a stocking stuffer is it's got to be small enough, can fit inside a stocking. And that's the beauty of card games themselves. There's plenty that are that size. And there's even some that are Christmas and holiday themed. And one that we're actually going to be covering on a main episode here in the future is Ghosts of Christmas. This is a re-theme of Time Palatrix by Taiki Shinzawa. It was redone by the publisher Board Game Tables. It's based off The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And it is all about the ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future, because the idea is you can play three different tricks at a time that take place in the past, present, and future. And it's a tiny little box. If you get the upgrade bits, it comes with little upgraded wooden wreaths and this massive top hat as the first player token.
You can't wear it, though, or caveat, you can't wear the top hat, but it is massive.
You could try. It could be a party trick that somebody does to balance it on the top of their head, but yes, it'd probably look very silly.
Perhaps one for your pet guinea pig or mouse, maybe. That maybe they'd struggle, but, you know, who knows? If you try it, let us know.
And other great thing to point out about Ghosts of Christmas is it's easily available. You should be able to find it on most places. I know directly through Board Game Tables. And that's going to be the theme with our next two games here, Turbo Man and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Have you played either of these, Patrick?
So, I've not played them, but I've heard a lot about them. And I know how well you regard them. And certainly, you know, the Grinch you've mentioned a few times to me in the past. Sadly, I only got halfway through the Grinch movie when I was a kid, and I never saw the other half, so I don't know what I'm missing, but I imagine it was an epic ending. Turbo Man, I know, comes from Jingle All the Way. In fact, that's part of the name, right? Jingle All the Way, Turbo Man, isn't it?
It's Turbo Time.
Turbo Time, right. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, it has its roots in, and that was such a good film. So I really like the theme of these two games, even if I've only watched half a movie of one of them. I'm sure you could speak to how well they play, though.
Yeah. So the nice thing with these games is they're the publisher is Prospero Hall / Funko Pop Games, and they surprisingly make really good thematic games. Anyone who has seen either of these movies is going to immediately feel the theme in the gameplay itself. It's really good for it. The Grinch game is the one I prefer more over the Jingle All the Way. It's Turbo Time is the full name of the other one. And the thing is, though, the Grinch game isn't a trick-taking game. It's actually more like Yahtzee with cards. You're essentially trying to make a five-card hand, and then you're going to score that five-card hand off specific categories you have, the four different suits, having a run of cards, getting multicolored of all the different suits, etc. But it plays really quick. It's really cool. And the nice thing is every round, one of you is the Grinch. And as the Grinch, you get to steal presents or cards, essentially, from the other players, but it's not as mean as it sounds because you're taking the cards from the discard pile. So it's the cards that the Whovillians didn't actually want. So it's not as mean.
So you're not really going to steal the presents. That's not, yeah, just to clarify, you can keep your toys.
Exactly. But the Turbo Man one is technically a quote-unquote trick taker. You do play one card at a time around the table in clockwise fashion. There are no suits, though. It's just simply a 36-card deck numbered 1 to 36. Whoever plays the highest number is going to trigger the ability on their card first, all the way down to the lowest person. Typically, the lower the number, it's a slightly better action. So that's kind of the drawback of doing it. But if you're the person who plays the highest or second highest card, you get to take toys from the shelves. So the ultimate goal of the game is a set collection game. You're trying to take these toys that are all face down in the middle of the table, what is known as the shelf, and you put them face down in front of you and you grab them. This one is a little bit more mean, though, because there is quite a bit of take that. You do get to steal people's toys that are in front of them. You get to swap them around. You can flip things up to see what it is to reveal to the table. The thing is, though, it makes it really thematic because that's the exact point of that movie. There's this Turbo Man toy that everybody wants. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad are constantly fighting each other, trying to steal it back and forth. And like, it fits really well with the game. And the game plays in 10, 15 minutes. So while it is a little mean, it's super quick.
Right. So in summary, what you're saying then, Ryan, is the Grinch isn't the meanest thing alive at Christmas. That's actually this Turbo Man game by comparison. Essentially, the one thing you sold me on with these, you said the price was pretty reasonable, right? So that could be a reason for somebody to take a bit of a gamble and dress up as the Grinch this Christmas.
Certainly. I think the biggest takeaway about both these games, The Grinch and Jingle All the Way, is you can get them for $7 on Amazon right now, prime shipping. Get them before Christmas as a stocking stuffer.
You can't really argue with that. As for UK availability, I apologize to everybody else elsewhere. I believe they can be bought. I did have a little look on Amazon and also eBay. I had a bit of luck on there looking for stock of some of these games. So not impossible to find. And yeah, size-wise, a great little stocking stuffer, as Ryan said. Oh yeah, although I need to play them and watch the movie fully.
I'd also, just to add into that, check maybe your local game stores or even like a Barnes & Noble or a bookstore that might sell games, because again, the publisher is Prospero Hall, Funko Pop. They're a little bit bigger mainstream company, so you might see those holiday themed games in those types of stores.
Yeah, that's cool. So any others we can think of? Well, there's a game called Ugly Christmas Sweaters. You know, I don't own any. Maybe I used to. Do you have any ugly Christmas sweaters, Ryan?
I do. I actually backed the Kickstarter for this one, so I got it on my shelf right now.
Okay, and what do you think of the... And he's actually on about the game here, of course. So what's your perspective on it? Are you what's the twist? What's the main twist?
Well, I want to point out the ugly, quote-unquote ugly sweaters in the game are actually quite pretty.
The irony.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The art is actually pretty nice in the game. But the twist of the game is that it's a set collection trick taker where you're trying to create these ugly Christmas sweaters. They have specific colors or, you know, patterns on them, as well as different symbols. So I might have like a gingerbread or a Christmas tree or a candy cane. And you'll have a secret card that shows you the type of Christmas sweater you're trying to make. And during the trick play, depending on how well you do in the trick, you'll be able to pick first and you'll grab the part that you need or whatever it might be to ultimately score these different ugly sweaters. And there's a couple other variants that you can add in that add more stuff to it. I will be honest, it's been a whole year since I've played this game.
Well, it is this Christmas thing. You don't wear Christmas sweaters in the summer, do you? So,
yeah.
What about Nana or Nana?
So much fun.
Yeah, so much fun. That is a game, of course, which I've got and you've got.
I have too many of, actually. I have the Korean Nana, the Japanese Nana, and now the Christmas Nana.
Okay, just in case, yeah, one ever goes missing, you've got a backup copy. Nana, brilliant game. I'm sure we'll give it the coverage it deserves on a, you know, an independent episode. But essentially, collecting these sets to try and hit the lucky number seven, or just collecting a set of sevens with the, you know, the shiny pigs, they're great. And my group, at least, we make these weird kind of animal noises when we collect a set of, you know, for example, a set of hedgehogs, and you say to somebody, right, now you've got to, you know, make a hedgehog noise. That's always interesting that the monkeys and the wolves are easier.
Do you ever get people to want to purposely avoid collecting those numbers then if they don't know how to make the animal noises?
I think it's, you know, the same time they're in a, it's a double-edged sword, you see, because they want to win the game. So it's like, well, I've got the set. Okay, well, we don't allow them to move on until they've made these noises. Great. I recommend you try it. It's brilliant. But, of course, Ryan, I'm sure, you know, I've got this as well. It's the Christmas version of Nana that's just come out. You've actually played it. What do you think?
It's just as good as regular Nana, because the only difference is adding in that Merry Christmas rule, where if you ever collect the 2, the 4, the 6, the 8, or the 10, you all around the table say Merry Christmas and pass all of your cards to the person on your left. And the quick synopsis for people who don't know, this is a memory deduction game. So when you're passing your entire hand to the person to your left, you're like, oh, this is great. I have all this information. I know what they have. I can easily ask them and get those cards. But then literally the next turn, somebody collects one of those other numbers and you have to say Merry Christmas and pass your hand again. And now you're trying to memorize 2 full hands on top of all the other cards in the table and all the ones that have been revealed. It just makes for hilarious moments where people get really cocky and ahead of themselves. Like, oh, I know you've got the 11 and that hand's been passed on.
Do you know what? What does that say about me that I forgot to tell the listeners it was a it was a memory deduction game when I introduced Nana as a topic, and you've just had to insert that? So I've realized Nana is not a game I'm going to excel at, but boy oh boy, is it a lot of fun.
And I think that's the charm of the game. Almost everyone that I play with always says the same thing, like, oh, you know, memory game, oh, that's not going to be good. I'm so bad at memory. But everyone's chuckling and laughing and having a great time.
And I think it's one of those games where if you go, you know, at home and you look it up and you hear this episode and you read the rules, you look at the rules and you think, you know, well, it's just, you know. But it's one of those games you have to get it to the table and have the experience. And then you realize, actually, you know, there's a lot of magic here that I'm not getting just by reading the rules. So I think it's just, it's deceptive.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. This is one game you cannot judge the book by its cover. And if you're judging it by its cover, it's super cute. So
nothing else. You'll like the artwork because it's Saibepu. So there we go.
I think that's a pretty good amount of smaller box games that you could toss in some stockings. But what if you wanted to give somebody not just an actual game, but game-related things? Well, a perfect example is a gift card to the local game store that you have nearby you. Always great to support local businesses. And if you're not sure exactly which game you want to get your significant other, friend, family member, whoever it is, getting them a gift card to the local game store allows them to go and browse and shop at their leisure for whatever game they like.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion, Ryan. And we do mention here a lot about, you know, Amazon and the bigger stores. But sometimes it's always nice to go and support your local store, choosing a game and having that personalized service. And hopefully you've got, you know, access to a good local flag store. A very good recommendation, I think.
And moving on, but sort of staying on brand with small business, is Etsy.
Yeah, my partner got me a dice tower last year. Nice little wooden one. They'd sort of personalized it with an inscription. So there's some really nice, lovely little personalized gifts you can get. I mean, even if it just says, I love trek taking or something along those lines, you know.
I actually want to take a second here to have you talk about that neon sign that you got. That thing is super cool.
Yeah. So my partner, she got me a personalized sign with an LED attached to it. It basically says Trick Talkers on air, and it's got our Trick Talkers logo on there, and I use it all the time. It's great. I hang it by the computer, and actually it's on now, Ryan. Would you believe it or not? I've turned it on for this podcast. So, if you don't want to buy physical games, what's the other solution, Ryan? I mean, there are other ways to play them and try them out, and one of those ways is Board Game Arena. Have you tried Board Game Arena, Ryan?
Love Board Game Arena. So many games on there, so many to pick from. It gets updated constantly. There's new games in alpha, new games in beta, new games that are just fully coming out. So there's always stuff on there. Now, one thing, though, is to play some games, you need premium, which does have a cost to it. It's pretty minor.
Yeah, so Board Game Arena, I can't remember how much I paid for the year. However, what I will say is that the price to entry is far lower than buying a ton of board games. So no doubt Board Game Arena saved me a significant amount of money. And the best thing about it is obviously, you know, people who are listening to this podcast, chances are they like card games, trick takers, climbers, etc. What we do best, yeah? There are loads of them you can check out on Board Game Arena as well. So if you're... I can't promise all these rare Japanese imports will be on there, but games like Haggis, Hearts, Spades, Jekyll and Hyde, versus Hyde, sorry. So a lot of these games that we do talk about, they are on there. It's a great way to take the plunge without making the commitment, or if you can't find them, you know, as the cost of living goes up in the outside world, it's a great way of dealing with that and getting and trying these games. Brilliant piece of kit.
And if you're considering other online options, there's also Tabletop Simulator and Tabletopia. Tabletop Simulator, you have to buy. There is no free option for it, but it is worth it. It is a huge collection of games on there. And Tabletopia is free. It does have some free options, but like BGA, there is a premium option that you can get as well. I love Tabletop Simulator. I use that every week. Tuesday nights, I play games online with my parents, since they're typically in Florida or somewhere further down the East Coast. So it's great to be able to play games for a few hours with them on there.
Yeah, I've actually... So I bought Tabletop Simulator. Sometimes they have deals where you can get multiple versions of it and kind of give them to family and friends so they can play with you. However, nowadays I've gravitated a bit more to Board Game Arena just because, you know, if you're on a mobile or tablet, it's a bit more accessible.
Yeah, it's a little bit more hands-on. It's a steeper learning curve to use Tabletop Simulator than something than like Board Game Arena. So if you do have a technology challenged family member, you might have some trouble with Tabletop Simulator.
Yes, so we'll say that. What about then going into card games again? Another way to try a lot of these, you know, Japanese games or trick-taking games that you can't get hold of, perhaps they've gone out of print. Well, what about playingcards.io then?
It's a great choice, Patrick.
Yeah, no, thanks. It took me a while to come up with that, but just, yeah.
Well, it was well worth the wait.
Well worth the thought, yeah. So what can we say about playingcards.io? It's there's a library which is within the Portland Games collective Discord group. There's also a library on Board Game Geek, a library which is a bit like a kid going into a candy shop and looking at all the jars of sweets and choosing which trick taker or climbing game he or she wants to play, right? What's your experience been like of playing cards.io? Because not everybody knows about this one. It's a bit more obscure.
Yeah, I have dabbled quite a bit in playing cards.io. Started out just using it as a player and started to make my own rooms within PCIO itself. It's a lovely bit of technology for just a web-based system. Super easy to navigate, super simple to use. Making rooms and automating them and doing these crazy things is also easy. So this one's probably my best recommendation for trying to play any of these card games with friends and family over the internet. It's easy to load games into. Like Patrick said, when you check the library of those games, all you have to do is download that PCIO file, import it into the room, and you're good to go. The person who creates the room takes all the time making it the way it is. You just have to play the game. Super nice. Highly recommend.
Yeah, Santa's elves making these playing cards IO rooms. So I think, unless you've got any more suggestions for Christmas, we've pretty much covered it.
No, I think we've unwrapped all the presents at this point.
We've unwrapped all the presents, so there's only one thing that's left to do.
And that's wrap them back up.
Wrap them back up. And
as always, thank you so much for listening, especially on this wonderful holiday special edition episode. We want to wish you all a happy holidays, whatever it is you celebrate, and a happy new year. Everybody stay safe and warm, enjoying whatever drink it is that you have and any food. And make sure you play some games with friends and family over the holiday times.
Even if you take the role of the Grinch.
Which isn't that mean. You need to finish this movie. I feel like I need to spoil it for you because, like,
please, I don't spoil it for me, Ron. I really want to know what happens to the Grinch. So.
Do you know what happens to his heart? Is all I'll ask.
I know there's something significant to do with his heart based on the name of this game, which is the Grinch's heart, right? This is going to sound terrible, but I don't think we actually gave the name of the Grinch game.
So the full name of the game is Dr. Seuss Grinch Grow Your Heart.
Right. Okay. So right, okay, that might have been a spoiler of the movie, but I'll just ignore I heard that. Obviously, if you've got any questions, comments, recommendations, etc., we're on Twitter, we're at Trick Talkers, or you can get in touch with us by email, tricktalkers@gmail.com. And as Ryan said, thank you for listening, and enjoy your holidays, and we look forward to joining you for the next episode.
See you around.